Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, it depends on who you ask, but if you Google it, the definition you'll get is the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Okay. That's very logistic. What it means is when we come together as people, as souls, we are more powerful, exponentially more powerful. We create something together that we could never create when we're alone. That's a lot to think about. You have power as an individual, but that power is augmented, it's amplified, it's multiplied and increased when you have knowledge, information. Yeah, knowledge, information, that's more power to you. Well, you know what? When you have power, that creates the opportunity for more synergy, but it also comes with increased responsibility. Responsibility demands accountability. We have an obligation to each other as fellow humans. When we know that we have the ability to do amazing things, we have the tools to do those things with the information that we have, and we do have a sense of responsibility that is about accountability to each other. We have so many opportunities to use our power in an amazing way. When we have this attitude of giving, there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. That empowers us even more because you know what? That energy is contagious. We attract people to us who want to have that power, the knowledge, the personal growth, the amplification of what we create when we come together. You know what? That's a really exciting thought. It's a concept of what can we do when we come together? The possibilities are infinite. When I started my coaching practice about 17 years ago, I loved that idea. Infinity. Wow, infinity life coaching. The possibilities are infinite. That was the mantra, not only of my belief system and my value system, but it then became the slogan of my company, Infinity Life Coaching. But you know what? It's funny because everyone said to me, well, what's your niche? What's your specialty? And I said, well, life, that's my specialty. And they said, no, that's too general. You have to have a focus. It's like a doctor. You can't just be a general practitioner. If you really want to be a specialist, you have to pick a part of the body. You have to pick a part of life that you feel passionate about and that you're genuinely interested in and that you know inside and out. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, life coaching, my first client actually was an attorney general. No, the district attorney, just a district attorney of the city of Phoenix. And I just said, okay, what's my speech, my spiel, my pitch? There you go, my sales pitch, because I got to get a sales pitch going on. And he said, what do you do? We were just in a coffee shop. And he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a life coach. And he said, well, what is that? And I said, you know what? A coach is like someone who teaches people how to score. I give you the strategy and the equipment and the support and encouragement to find your goal, really have your goal in mind and then succeed. Right? Reaching your goal, whatever it is in life, that could be relationships. It could be your career. It could be finances. It could be your health. You know what? I didn't really want to have just one area to work on, but you know, over the years, when he first said to me, just teach me how to be happy. Over the years, I saw, you know, the one thing that I'm really, really good at, yes, I can teach you how to be healthful in your body. I can teach you how to manage money in an amazing way. But what it really came down to for me was relationships. I taught people not only how to communicate better, to resolve conflict with each other, but to create synergy together. And so when people would come to me and say, I love my mother, I just can't stand to be in the same room with her. I said, okay, you know what? I think there are a lot of people out there who feel the same way. Let's focus on what's great about this person, your mother. It could be your daughter. You know what? A lot of mothers came to me and said, fix my daughter. And by the time I got together with the daughter, I said, you know, your mother's the one with the issues, right? And they said, you know what? Yes, please fix her. No, what we need to do is come together and create synergy. I really did enjoy being with people, teaching people how to enjoy being together. That was exciting to me. So then I thought, well, you know what? This is really a good thing for me to do. And I'm good at it because I can see that it's something that I'm personally very vested in, very genuinely interested in. So that by the time I was done at the end of the hour with my client, yeah, I wasn't worn out. I wasn't tired. I actually had more energy, and the relationship coaching created new opportunities for me. And a lot of the clientele that I had was simply through word of mouth. But then people were saying, you know what? You need to write a book because you're trying to save the Titanic with a teaspoon, teaching people one at a time. So I wrote a book. And then they said, but you need to teach classes. You need to have that human interaction with people, because when people read a book, they digest the information, but they don't implement that information in the same way. And so I thought, you know what, you're right. But now everything on the internet really is about just getting that information into your technology. But I've always said, no, you know what, we need to get back together. Now, COVID-19 made that a little bit difficult. I thought, I still want to bring people physically together, because the energy that we have, the emotional energy, the physical power that we have when we come together, we do exponentially more than we do when we're text messaging each other. Yeah, that's kind of exciting to think about too. When I had a situation about a year ago, I knew that I needed to get out of the physical environment that I was in. And I said to my husband, look, I need to get out of Seattle. This is just a very bad city for my health. All of my kids are grown up. I want to find a place in Phoenix because I've lived there with you before. I want to move back to Phoenix now that my kids are all grown up. And yes, I can fly to and fro all the times that I want to visit with them. My good energy, my powerful, positive energy was in Phoenix. He said, yeah, go ahead, find a place down there. Let me know when you got it and I'll come down. Well, I thought, okay, challenge accepted. Let's just fly down there with nothing but a suitcase full of my good stuff. Well, couple days later, he called and said, honey, I'm not hearing from you. What's going on? Where are you? And I said, you know what? I landed in a homeless shelter. Something happened with my hotel room. I literally had no room to spend the night in. And I went to a shelter in Phoenix, Central Phoenix, called CAS. Maybe some of you out there have heard of it. All I saw was horror, toxicity. The people running this establishment, that could be anything from the managers, they could be the caseworkers, they could be the administrative staff. You know what? Sometimes it's just the people opening the door or the security guards. They were saying and doing and being horrifying things to the people in this establishment. And there were several buildings on the campus on 12th Avenue and Washington Street. And I said, wait a minute, you guys are supposed to be helping homeless people. What in the world are you doing? The things you're saying and the things that you're being with these homeless people, they genuinely are in a hard way. They do not have a place to live. They have family members. They have maybe mental conditions. They have emotional problems. You know what? Physically, they're very sick. They need to get good medical attention. You are laughing at them and you are ignoring them and walking away from them. And even worse, denying them access to the things that they need. And I said, you know what? I could walk away from the situation. But I want to see really what your system is about. So I told my husband, I said, you know what? I'm going to stay in this place and see how long it actually takes them to help me get housing. You know what? Yeah, I could easily find five different apartment complexes, check out all of their amenities, fill out all of the applications and move in. But this is a huge red flag to me. Something inside of me said, I need to help these people. Yes, it was great to have clients who would pay me up to $200 an hour. Yes, it was great to teach classes and to write books and make a whole lot of money. But wait a minute, maybe the relationships that I need to help people with are these people who cannot afford to pay me that much. And I really want to have a look-see into the system, because with my radio show, with my local clientele and business connections, and even social media connections that I have on different websites, some people could help with their resources as well. Because you know what? Most of the time, when we look at homeless people, all we see is human garbage. But you know what? Not everyone who was staying in these places was garbage. They were just overwhelmed and they were lost and confused, and their hope was gone. So their energy had become negative. They were still very smart people. They still had very good intentions. They had simply lost their positive attitude. And you know what I've always told people? There is no neutral energy. You are either positive or negative. Even indifference. A lot of these people in these places were indifferent. Their attitude was, well, you know what? I don't care. Half of the staff had that problem. You know what? It's not my job, so it's not my concern. They would literally have access to resources and tools in the system, in the homeless shelter environment. They had these public services that they could offer to people who came up with them, and they said, but you know what? That's not my problem, because that's not in my job description. You have to talk to someone else by going through this other person, because the process in the system is this and that and this and that. And then they would literally turn around and walk away. And I thought, wow, their indifference was actually just as bad as the negativity of the security guards who were drinking and doing drugs as they were on their shift. Wow, you know what? Okay, this is an even bigger problem, because the people then living in these places started to get this very infectious negative attitude. And then I thought, you know what? I wonder how many people just in the city in general have a preconceived notion that all of the homeless people in these institutions, in these facilities, were all druggies and alcoholics and criminals. Okay, that's not really a good thing either. So let's just kind of take an inventory. What I did every time I would go through a step of this system and say, what do I need to do in order to get help getting an apartment? They said, well, you have to get a job. I'd say, great. So give me the caseworker. Well, okay, to get a job, they helped me get the job interviews. But then I realized that the part of the facility that helped me get my residence was a totally different organization than the people who got me the job. And the trick was, you had to get a certain kind of job in order to qualify for a certain residency in order to get the lifestyle that you want. But you can't make too much money, but you can only work certain hours. And if you work those hours, then you don't qualify for the other program that helps you to get the food that you need to eat. And I'm like, whoa, I can't believe these people. It's almost like they deliberately set it up in a way to undermine your personal progress and genuine success. Okay. So then as I was getting to know the people, some of the staff who worked there, and I'd say to them, what are you doing? How do you know that you are undermining these people, or you are part of an organization that does that? And you don't take a stand for them. You don't help them and support them. How do you sleep at night? Well, you know what? There were a few of them who said, not very well. I really do care about these people, and the best I can do for them right now is give them the good mental mindset of, yes, you can get through this. I'm going to show you the little tricks and exercises that you can do along the way to sidestep all of these burdens, these basically tripping stones that they would set up in your way. I'll teach you how to maneuver through the system. Sometimes it was just a matter of, you know what? I'm here for you, and I care about you, and I believe in you. and I'm here for you. That alone would help people keep going where they would otherwise have said, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to give up because there's no hope. There's no possibility. There's really no reason to continue going through a system that I know is just setting me up for failure. You know what? There were a few people in the system. They really did care. But you know what? Unfortunately, I would turn around and the next thing I knew, they were gone. And I would reach out to them afterwards and I'd say, where did you go? Why aren't you here anymore? They said, because you know what? I started vomiting and I couldn't sleep at night knowing that I was actually propelling that kind of toxicity. I just need to, you know what? I'm going to go work at a fast food restaurant, making a little bit less money so I can sleep at night. And I went, okay, you know what? I need to get something set up where I can help the people who reside there to get into a new mindset, but also create public awareness of the very, very scary toxicity of the system. What do they do? Well, you know what? I decided to actually start by filing what they called grievances. When I had a formal complaint, I would fill out a piece of paper that they call a grievance and then submit it to my case manager, who would then, I guess, give it to whoever is next higher up in the system. And I said, wait a minute, I just filed a grievance. What's going on? They said, yeah, well, I don't know. I just gave it to the next person up. I don't know what happens to it. And I said, let me guess. That's not your job, so it's not your concern. And they said, bingo, and started laughing and walked away. I said, okay, I have the distinct feeling that these grievances aren't even being submitted to the people that they say, right, that they're being given to. I'm going to take pictures of all of the things that I submit and email them to myself kind of as my backup so I have evidence of what's going on. I ended up getting kicked out, actually completely prohibited from participating in any of the organization's services or activities, all of the things that these places were offering me in the way of community services. I was forbidden from having any access to any of them because I filed the formal complaints. And I went to the next person up and said, who's the person who's supposed to deal with these? Well, they never called me back and they never responded to my email. So they passed me on to the next place. CAS passed me on to a place called Human Services Campus, HSC. Wow, that was pretty tricky. In fact, the people there were more, shall we say, professional, right, in their approach and their demeanor and their modus operandi. I was still taking pictures now of these facilities, and I was filing grievances because they had basically the same process, the same procedure of what to do when you had a formal complaint. And then I realized there was no recourse. And so then I went to my case manager and I said, wait a minute, but you're still CAS. Now I'm in the HSC facility. What am I supposed to do when I literally got the job through the HSC, right, procedures. But now the residence, right, that I'm getting from you doesn't let me have that job. I literally cannot live where I need to live if I'm going through this job. And the people on the campus, the other residents were saying to me, why are you doing this? Why do you keep going? You should just give up the way we give up. I say, because there is something better. There is a better way. The employees, the security guards, which by the way, the security guards I also found out were hired from a different company. Their policies and procedures are very different from CAS and HSC. So the things that CAS and HSC say cannot be done on campus, those were the things that the security guards were doing. And I said, is there no recourse for the residents here when they have this kind of abuse and mistreatment, criminal activities going on through PES, security guards? And they said, well, you know what? It's not really my job, so it's not really my problem. I couldn't believe it. I was in shock. And I was a little horrified. But then it came down to, okay, now we need to get some really good support from the community. I was continuing to take pictures and going through HSC, right? Saying the grievances, this is what the security guard did. This is what the staff did when I brought the security guard issue to them. This is what happened to me. Yeah, they would put me in front of a door, an open door, pouring down rain, wind and cold in the middle of the night without a blanket, without a pillow, knowing that I have epilepsy. I was having grand mal seizures. They didn't get me any medical attention. Okay, let's just go ahead and keep record of that as well. So I got a recording device, an audio recording device, and I was taking very discreet measures, but recording the things that they were saying to me personally. And it got to the point where the HSC said, you know what, you're kicked out. You don't get any of our services or help or support either. So then they passed me on to a place called Hallie. Well, most people know it in Phoenix as U-Mom because it is another shelter where people can go, women, strictly women, go for that same kind of help. U-Mom is women with children. Hallie is for single women. And I said, okay, so let's go ahead and see what we can get going with these guys. And I went through the same processes. In fact, I even read the terms and conditions. There is nothing in the contract that gives the residents the specific details of how the system is going to work, what they need to do, what will happen when things aren't happening the way they should. And you know what? This time, when they kicked me out, because yes, I continue to file grievances that were ignored, and I continue to talk directly to the people, the staff on campus of these different locations, and they went through the exact same things. And they literally went into my room, which violated the policy and procedure, put everything out onto the street corner in bags, and some of them were in boxes. And just basically said, don't ever come back here ever again. You're a hellraiser and we don't want you around because you are starting to corrupt the people that are staying here. And the women, they're starting to get ideas of independence and confidence. And I said, no, actually, you know what? I'm coaching them for free just because I want to help them. Yes, giving them food for a day, giving them an apartment is one thing. But I realized the coaching that I needed to do was personal support and education and information about their true nature and how to maximize their gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. That's what a coach does. You know what? A counselor is good. A therapist is good. A shrink is good. Psychologist, psychiatrist. But you know what? Those are people that you go to when you want to fix what's wrong. A coach is someone who helps empower you to feel really confident and to give you the tools and the strategy to successfully reach your goal, whatever that goal is, score in the game of life. Yeah, you know what? These people, they can't afford anything. You know what? They can't even afford, I don't even want to call it charity rates. They can't afford $10, $15, $20 an hour. But you know what? That's okay. Because when they walked away from me, they didn't want to give up anymore. And I said, okay, you know what? This is really important. I want to get the community aware, not only of what these places are doing to the residents, but what the people who live here are thinking and feeling. They have the capacity to do so much and to be so much in their life. They just need that positive energy to create the powerful synergy with each other as a group. Yeah, and independently as individuals. But I thought, I need to get the community aware of what's going on. How can I get something going that's good for them and it's good for the community and it's good for me, that we can all work together? And then I thought, you know what? There was this job that I had about 20 years ago. I think it was the most fun I've ever had. It was for a company that was actually a marketing company, and they had this modus operandi of everybody give a little bit. First, you give most, you give without the expectation of anything back, everybody will get 10 times more. And I thought, you know what? I loved that job. If the company hadn't dissolved, I would probably still be doing that job today because what it came down to was organizing people in the community to get everything together in a positive way, get that positive energy going so that we were all working together with the belief system that if you give high quality, you won't have to do a high quantity. That's really cool. Okay, now stay with me as I explain this to you. It's kind of exciting for me, so I might kind of go just start thinking out loud, but I'm going to keep it very simple. It was for salons and day spas selling gift certificates for 90% off. Okay, that right there sounds good, doesn't it? If I came up to you as you're a woman or a man saying for your wife or girlfriend or daughter, there is a salon or a day spa over there on the corner. They're looking for 10 people who have never been in before to try out all of their best services and products for 90% off. Would you be interested in knowing more details about this offer, this opportunity? Most people would say, wow, 90% off. That's huge. Yeah, tell me more about it. What it consisted of was a gift certificate with 9 to 12 different services or products, depending on if it was a salon or a day spa, for $300 value, sold at $45. Okay, so maybe it's not exactly 90% off. I think it was like 87.3. But 90 sounds better, right? So what I would do as a salesman is put the gift certificate in their hand so they could see with their own eyes and they could feel, they could touch this list of 9 to 12 services. And then each visit, because it was in 3 different visits, had at the bottom a complimentary beverage and snack. Okay, so then people would say, look, on the first visit, it was the hair, okay? It would be a deep conditioning treatment, a scalp massage, a shampoo cut and style, and a consultation about your style and fashion, and a complimentary beverage. The second visit was the nails, basically, a hand and arm massage, a paraffin dip, a manicure, including a cuticle treatment, and a complimentary beverage and snack with the professional consultation. Well, the third one was either the facial or something with the body, depending on whether it was a salon or day spa, with things from exfoliation and massage and the facial with a mask. When you have all of these different products and services, you know what? Most of the time, people were more excited about the complimentary beverage and snack. But when we're talking about each visit being worth $100, that was wonderful for them because they were only paying $15 a visit. Yeah, that was a really exciting prospect for them, because what I would say to them as the salesman, we want you to come into this place 3 different times, because if you come in 3 different times and you get 9 to 12 different experiences, most likely you're going to love one of them. You're going to want to come back to be a full paying client for them. The great thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, was that the establishment never paid the marketing company. Everything that we did as a salespeople, we got to keep all $45. They never had to actually pay up front. There was zero investment. So there was zero potential loss for them. We got to sell anywhere from 500 to 2,000 gift certificates to the general population. And when we had people coming in to the establishment, they were getting 85 to 90% off. Sometimes the certificates were up to $300 in value for only $45. Yeah, everybody got something really great out of it. A contract for our marketing company could be anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000 worth of income for our company. When the establishment had 1,000 gift certificates sold over a 6 to 8 week period, they got anywhere from 150 to 250 full paying clients with absolutely no risk of any loss. And then the society that we were sending out all of these wonderful offers, the reason that people loved this before times kind of changed a little bit with, you know, not giving us your credit card to a complete and total stranger was because we said, look, we have this opportunity for you to try something at a very minimal risk to you. The loss, you know what? Worst case scenario, you're going to come into this place and you're going to get all of these services. You will at least be breaking even. Even if you don't necessarily like it, to come back and pay full price, the energy that I had as a salesman, when I would go out into the community every day, I would literally go from business to business telling different people, if you've never been in, you have the opportunity of a lifetime. Sometimes we would go, as a sales team, we would go to a public forum, like a food court in a mall, and we would literally have 500 to 1,000 people in three or four different malls during the lunch rush. It could take anywhere from 2 hours. And we would just go up to complete and total strangers, people we'd never met, saying, hi, can I ask you a really quick question? And you know what? Some people loved that we were just talking to them. They loved the positive energy that we had when we went up to them, because we were just dying to tell them about this fabulous opportunity that we know for a fact they would love. Yeah, people just wanted us to talk to them. And when we explained to them what we were doing, it was a wonderful thing for them and us. And so when we had the meeting at the office before we would go out into these places for the whole day, because yeah, we worked for 8 hours a day on the street. Yes, it was a lot of walking, but we had that energy. Every day at the beginning of the day, we would have a meeting, a group meeting, where we would get excited with each other and we would do these role-playing exercises, and we would give our little sales pitch to each other and say, are you ready to do this? What did you have a hard time with today? You know what? Let's nip it in the bud so you don't have it when you go out into the field. The goal every day for the salespeople, 10 gift certificates. You know what? If you can get 10 gift certificates, you can keep up to $50 a day in cash advances, and the rest of it you would get every week in your paycheck. But you know what? A $45 gift certificate, you only got $15 of that. That's 33% commission. That's pretty good. If you could sell 10 gift certificates, you could be making $150 a day. And again, remember, this was about 20 years ago. That could be probably twice as much now. Okay. When we're talking about the people selling something that people wanted to buy for an establishment, people that loved their jobs and they wanted to get new clients, they were going to do an amazing job. There was no downside because everybody was giving a little bit. The establishment was giving their services for free. The salesmen were giving their time and attention, going up to complete and total strangers. Cold call sales are tough. And the client was giving a little bit as an act of good faith, paying for the certificate before they ever got to the establishment. Yeah, that was a little act of good faith on all parts. And the benefits for each party was amazingly good ROI. Percentage of the investment, what you were giving in the way of time, what you were giving money, what you were giving energy and labor, the rewards were great. And there was no downside. That was what excited me the most. If nobody is hurt in this process, then it's always going to be worth the time and effort and attention that you give to the people. Yeah, when we were doing something great for an establishment, saying, we're going to bring you as many people as you want. What do you think you can genuinely handle? That was an act of good faith for them, saying, you know what? You don't even have to give us money because we have enough faith in our ability to do an amazing job. When the establishment said, okay, you know what? You're going to do a great job. Keep everything that you have genuinely earned. And when we go out into the community and say, I don't know you, you don't know me, but do you want something amazing? I would love for you to have something amazing. That's what I loved in that job. And I thought, you know what? Somehow I've got to get this going for the people who genuinely do believe that they have the potential to be something better. It's just these shelters and the caseworkers and the security guards who are saying to them every day, go to hell. I don't care about you at all. And I have the ability to make your life better. I'm choosing proactively not to. No, that can't happen. We can't be doing that because I actually saw on television a couple of months ago, there's an $8 million, I guess, just a bank account, basically, for these institutions. They could be doing good things for the people that are staying there, that are reaching out to them to create a better life, to create success for themselves. Let's raise an awareness in the community for these people. Yeah. Well, you know what? We need to know what they need, and then we have to get people very sincerely interested in their well-being. What do you think of homeless people? What do you think of people who are unemployed? Maybe people who have drug problems or other addictions. Do you believe that they are worth your time and energy and attention? You know what? Yeah, money is good. Go ahead. When they're standing on the corner saying, help me with food, absolutely give them $10. But I thought, you know what? Let's make it different. Let's put a fund. I created a GoFundMe account where if you want to donate to help the people in the greater Phoenix area to get their life together beyond a $10 meal, because yeah, that is kind of what it's costing now. You know what? I will create these classes, life coaching classes that they don't have to pay for. Whatever you donate is what I will accept as my compensation for the classes. I have created a life coaching workbook for the people who are going to take these classes. And the people in the community basically are saying to the people who want to take these life coaching classes, if you're willing to do the work, like the establishment, redeeming the gift certificates, if you're willing to do the work, we have the potential to come together as a community to make people's lives better. And yeah, I absolutely will give them the classes, the information at no cost to them. Because the people who are interested in life coaching, they are willing to do the work. I did a lot of coaching in these places on the down low for free to the people who said, I just don't know what to do. I am at a complete and total loss. I need more information. Those are the information details that I would give to people, how to get out of this situation, how to improve the relationships with the people in their life, how to choose a career that's best for their personality. Yeah, that's the information I gave to those kinds of people. The point is, they have to do the work. I'm not just going to sit and listen to them complain all day, every day. Life coaching is empowerment to make their life better, to make the world better. And you know what? If people are going to make a donation towards the empowerment of the homeless people, the community that genuinely wants to be better, then I will give that to those people on behalf of the greater community, because everybody giving a little bit to each other with a good intention and the benevolent motivation of let's bring each other success in different ways. And you know what? Everything you do, if it's not negative, then it's positive. And if your intentions are generous, that will make it even better for the people that you are empowering in a very big picture way, in a long-term beneficial way. That would definitely be worth $10, $15, you know what? Even $20. If you think that getting them the workbook is something that you are comfortable with, if giving me the money to find the facility to teach the classes, I have the GoFundMe campaign on, let me see, this is, here we go. The title of it is Homeless Shelter Victims. If you go to GoFundMe.com, you'll see my picture there, information about the coaching that I will give, that I actually do individually give, to individual people at these places. I would give it to them in classes, in the workbook. If you want to know more information, go ahead and you can call my show here at the station, 888-627-6008. I also have the email address of synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. Yeah, there's different ways you can get more details if you want. I'm going to be in the Greater Phoenix area the week of January 5th through 11th. I'm going to be handing out information about this GoFundMe campaign because there are definitely people in these facilities who are waiting for me to start this program. And if there are people who are willing to carry the signs in these facilities, yeah, I'll give them $5 an hour just to carry the signs around the city because there are people who do want to work for their money. They do not want a handout. That's just one more way I can say, absolutely, find out what it is that you want to do with your life. But while you're finding it out, while you're figuring it out, do something good for your fellow man. Yeah, hold the sign and attract attention to let people know that not only does this GoFundMe campaign serve the purpose of educating the homeless and supporting them and encouraging them, it's also to draw attention to these facilities and what's going on in a system. We do need to get the public awareness raised because if they do have an $8 million fund in these places and they do not have good security guards, you know what? The people who are staying there need to stand up to these people. And the media, right? The social media, the news media, when they know that there are things going on, getting that public action force started in the community, that's going to draw more attention. And if there is genuinely an opportunity to get better employees, you know what? Fire the garbage ones and get the good ones. When they have terms and conditions in their contract, there is no part of the contract that says you don't have a right to abuse the residents. I think there should be that part in the contract, don't you? When we have grievances filed, where in the world do they go? We have a right to know what happens to our grievances because if it's not resolved, if it's not addressed and taken care of, then we need to have a next step to take to the next level that particular complaint that needs to get fixed. Okay, so what kind of things can we teach people? Yeah, we can teach them life skills. We can teach them about their personality. We can teach them about their true nature. One of the things that I tell people first and most is you have a nature. Something about the way you are born. You have gifts and talents and strengths and abilities. What I teach people as an individual coach, and what I would be teaching in these classes are the things that I would tell anybody who was paying full price, the same as if they were getting it as a charity donation. When we have different things in our life that we need to get done, there are different ways we can do it. You need to know what is the most natural thing for you. One of the biggest mistakes that we make in life is we try to make things happen that are not natural. They are not organic. When we have gifts and talents and strengths and abilities, it's because whatever you want to call it, nature or God, it's structured. We have different gifts distributed throughout humanity because different things in the world need to get done. And when we cooperate with nature, we have a better chance of succeeding because we're allowing those things to naturally come to fruition. And when we come together, then we have that synergy. What do you do well? Then do that. What brings you pleasure? Then do that. What's the easiest thing for you to do? I promise you, when you allow yourself to do and be the things that are the most natural for you, your energy becomes positive. Yeah, your energy. It's either positive or negative. Again, indifference, not caring is negative. So when you then have that good energy, the people around you will be drawn to you. Just like when I was selling the gift certificates, there were people who literally just bought the gift certificates because being around me for 15 minutes was worth $45 and getting the good product. I'm sorry, what did I just buy? Yeah, when they would go into an establishment and say, you cannot cut hair to save life, but I love being with you. That made them a loyal for life customer. When we have people in the community that are doing things that are their true nature of their personality, they can say to other people, you know what? It's okay that you're not good at this particular activity because that's what I do best. So why don't you find out what you are best at? And then we can get each person in their true organic place in the world. That's the best thing that I teach people as a coach, a relationship coach. Embrace who you truly are. That makes your energy positive. When you are positive and hopeful and generous, giving to the people around you, that's very contagious. They're willing, more willing, right, to do that with the people that they are with, that they are around. And then we can say, look, here's what we have the opportunity to do and have and be. What would be the best for you? When you have that attitude of give first, pay it forward, we can do a lot of things that never would have come even into our mind, because when we come together and we start talking, we collaborate, we encourage, we support, we can say, you know what? You need this particular thing. You need a help. You need a service. You need a product. I don't have that, but I know who does. And when you have that positive attitude and that hopeful energy, and you say, yeah, what I do have is access to what you need. And believe it or not, folks, most of the time, people just need our gratitude. There is more joy in giving than there is in receiving. People want you to say, I appreciate who you are so much. They want to give you more because they see the positive energy that you have. Energy is either positive or negative. And if people know that they are the source of your positive energy, it absolutely is a reward in and of itself. Which brings me to my final point, quality over quantity. You know what? We don't need a lot. We actually are very satisfied with small amounts, because when it comes to being with each other, quality is always more important than quantity. If we know that the intentions and motivations of people are good, we can trust them. And when we trust people, we are drawn to them and we appreciate them. When people know that we appreciate them, one of the best things, and this is something I love about my children, I'm actually going to get kind of emotional when I talk about this. They forgive us. They actually forgive us because they love us and they want to forgive us. And if you genuinely say, I am sorry for what I did, they love that you even care enough about them to say that you're sorry. And they say, you know what? It never even happened. Because I love that I can trust you and you love me too. Do you really trust people? This is the question, ladies and gentlemen. Who do you trust in this world? We live in a really scary world right now. Yes, it is. It's hard for us to trust people because we don't even get to see each other anymore. People would rather be on their technology than in an establishment. They would rather order that their groceries be sold and delivered them then go through the store. They don't even necessarily have a physical condition, but it's been 2 years since they've shown their face. They're afraid to show their face. Do you know that when you show people that you love them and you trust them, you have given them a gift even better than money? Yeah, you really do love them in a general human way. That's the first step to getting to know them personally and intimately. That's the level we get to. When we get to that close, personal, intimate level, then we come together and we create something powerful in a good way. Good will always conquer evil. Do you believe that? Yeah, negative is pretty powerful, but positive is stronger. The reason why people don't continue, keep going, and persevere to the end is because they feel emotionally overwhelmed. When you inspire people and say, I appreciate your commitment and your strength and your endurance or your flexibility, that continues to propel them to keep going because good will always conquer evil. Yes, it will. The only reason it doesn't happen more often than not is because people give up. And if you say, I'm not going to give up, you don't have to give up. We can keep going until we conquer this. You will always feel gratified. You know what? One of the tough things about that job was the law of averages. And this is what I tell people. You have to get through 9 no's in order to hear 1 yes. Are you okay with that idea, with that principle of, yeah, if there are 5,000 people in these shelters, what if I told you it's even less than that? It's 0.1%, only 50 people. Would you be willing to contribute to get 50 people back in a successful state of mind, in a heart condition that really is healthful for society? Would you be willing to trust that, yeah, you know what? There's going to be people out there who aren't going to do the work. They're not going to have good intentions. But what I have invested, what I have given and donated to those other people who are better than that is worth going through those other people who aren't that way. Because the powerful, the good is more powerful than the bad. It's not just about numbers, it's about people. Do we have the opportunity to create a better homeless shelter system? Yeah, we do. The problem is we're not working together. Do we have the opportunity to empower the good people in our society to be successful? Yeah, we just don't have faith in them all the time. Do we have the money to get things up and running? Yeah, we do. We just don't know how to manage money. Understanding your true nature and appreciating the nature of other people is going to be the summary of what I give people in this program that I've created. If you would like to make a donation, please go to GoFundMe.com with Homeless Shelter Victims Campaign. And again, you'll have contact information on that website. And every time you think of something that really does matter to you, think about other people. Don't you think it matters to them? Right now, the biggest challenge we have is simply the space, the distance between us. If you understand that you have the capacity, you have the opportunity to give long-term, substantive help to people individually, that I can say to people, look, I have listeners, we have people in the community. I'm going to be holding signs. Yeah, it will be me actually walking up and down the street. I got signs from a great company in Phoenix when we have this opportunity to say, look, we just need to draw public attention to this. People want to see it. I could go ahead and send out 1,000 emails a day and most people would delete the email. Or I could make cold calls. Well, you know what? People hang up the phone the minute that they know it's a solicitor. I have a table with a sign that I tape basically to the table. I have signs on a stick that I walk up and down the street with. I have flyers that I hand out. I have business cards. People want to speak to people. When they see that it's a legitimate cause for a benevolent intention that will be to the well-being of society, they say, okay, you know what? Give me more information. I don't necessarily know that I want to give you my financial information because we live in such a corrupt society, and I don't know that I want to give you cash. Okay, that's fine. But if you have questions, ask. And if there are homeless people who are carrying these signs around that you see, yeah, I am going to post it on the different websites that I have. Keep an eye on how it's going. And I promise you, this is going to be a nationally awareness event. I'm trying to think in English. I'm getting excited and I'm thinking in Spanish. Yeah. And there are even people in different cultures and societies who say we need to support the people that we live with and we live around. What can we do for a long-term benefit? Just ask yourself again, who do you trust? What do you want? What do you believe about making the solution, not just complaining about the problem? If you know that life coaching is going to get people long-term permanent help, would it be worth it to you to make a donation? And if you want to be part of the promotion of this, would you be willing to tell people about it? Because seeing the benefit not only of the people's lives being better, but the system improving, getting that attention drawn to the erroneous belief system of the people running these institutions, that you know what? The worthless people are just homeless. No, they're not. They're not lazy and they're not stupid and they're not corrupt. They're just in a bad way and they're lost and confused. The power of synergy. You have the power to create amazing things in the world. Do you believe that? Even if you're not personally going to be with every single person in this program, do you still trust that they have the capacity to do good things that will affect other people around them? And when they have that good energy and those good motives and those benevolent intentions, that will make our world a better place, one person at a time. Again, this is the power of synergy. If you have any comments or questions, you can go to the power of synergy or bbsradio.com/thepowerofsynergy, or you can call Synergy Relationship Coaching at 425-280-8463, or you can email any comments or questions at synergyrelationshipcoaching@gmail.com. Knowledge is power. Power is about responsibility, and responsibility demands accountability. What are you ready to do? Thank you so much for listening to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. We'll see you next week. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona.